radiogorgeous.com.
Hello, I'm Karen Remy. I'm very happy to share today the episode number 2 for Radio Gorgeous. I will read a part of my autobiography. It will talk about childhood and rediscovering the inner child. So I will share some insight and then share a meditation with you that really helped me along my path. Ever since I can remember, I wanted to be like my dad and go into business. My father was and still is a big influence in my life, and I didn't want to disappoint him. My father, Elie Benamou, was born in Morocco in the 20s into a traditional Jewish Berber family living in the small quiet town of Boudnib in the Atlas Mountains. There was some electricity, but modern life was only just beginning. My father went to an Arabic school, and Arabic was his first language. He was the first born in a family of 7 children. His father died when he was 16, and his mother died 1 year later, leaving a family with the youngest baby just 1 year old. And so my father became father and mother to his brothers and sisters, taking care of them and making sure they received an education. Life for him had to be about duty. His father has left him 2 trucks. With these, he built a transportation company that by the time I was born had grown to become one of the biggest in Morocco. He met my mother through a family matchmaker when he was 26 and she was 19, and they fell in love. My mom was an air hostess for a small airline, which was very adventurous at the time. My mom's family also came from the same region before moving into Algeria. Later, after my parents had married, her family fled to France during the Algerian War of Independence. When I came along, I was their 4th child. My eldest brother is older than me by 11 years. I was very much the baby of the family. By now, my parents were in a good situation and part of Casablanca society. So it was as if I was a princess when I arrived in a family environment with 3 cultures, French, Moroccan, Arabic, and Jewish. My parents were not so kosher. They were kosher at home, but not outside. So though my father is very traditional, my family was quite open-minded. They were okay about me eating ham, for example. But I remember thinking about the girls who were raised in Muslim families where they had to wear the hijab. If they like it, fine, but how many do? It's the same with the Hasidim. It's so sad to have your freedom to choose taken away from you. Though I understood why my father respects his religion, even as a child, I felt stifled. Knowing I could never feel religious in any way, I kept quiet and didn't express myself. 2 of my great-grandfathers on both sides of my family were highly respected rabbis. They were both very wise and spiritual, and it's the spirituality that is my heritage, not the religion. Because like any religion, it dictates just one way to be spiritual. And this has never felt true to me. Though I felt my spiritual heritage very strongly, and it has nourished me throughout all my life. We lived in a massive apartment in the center of the city on a big wide avenue. It was very busy with lots of cycles and motorbikes and car horns. My parents loved it. For them, living in the middle of city meant modernity and progress. The striking thing about my life in Casablanca was the music. In Jewish tradition, you have bar mitzvahs, wedding, and all sorts of special celebration requiring huge party. Life was filled with festivity, with Arabic music and dance, and Jewish traditional songs. Everybody has a part to play in the celebrations. The music would involve playing the darbuka, clapping and singing. From when I was little, I would dance for the parties. I really felt the power of the women who were singing during those celebrations. Even if as females, we were considered second-class citizens. Us children sang a lot, learning everything by ear just by being there. Cooking, too, was a huge part of the celebrations. Tagine, meatballs, couscous, pastries with honey and almonds. As we watched, we'd learn how to cook these wonderful dishes. I saw how people would transform themselves, lie about themselves in order to seduce, to be on top of everything, to be the star of the day. That always irritated me. I didn't like the ego-oriented society, the power, the seduction. I could see it going on, so I kept quiet a lot, watching how people were. I felt life was like watching a show that you know inside yourself is not real. I only really felt excited about music, and I loved to dance. Yet, as I was growing up in Casablanca, I was obsessed by the idea of Paris. Paris meant social progress to me. In Morocco, everything we'd aspire to was French. So from very early on, I felt that being Moroccan was not an asset. My dream was to live in Paris.
Radio Gorgeous. Listen anywhere, anytime.
Our situation in Morocco had become difficult. The Yom Kippur War had started when I found that we were going to leave Casablanca. The country was 99% Arabic, and even though the Jewish people were well integrated, when the Israeli went to war, we could feel the tension. My father felt we had to go. Our new home was an apartment on the outskirts of Paris by the Bois de Boulogne, and I spent a lot of time there playing and riding bicycles with my new friend from school. My family moved there when I was 7, and I was so happy. For me, it was wonderful. The society there seemed freer to me. It felt as if it was easier for people to say what they meant. The names of the local schools in Neuilly were Sainte-Croix, Saint-Dominique, Sainte-Marie. So you get the idea. And I went to a good state school called L'École Bleue. It might not have been named after one of the Catholic saints, but like the society we found ourselves in, it was very Catholic, super traditional, super clean, right-thinking. It was a huge shock for me as a Jewish girl from Morocco. I was considered naturally bad at French. But I had to try and fit in, and the minute I understood that, I wanted to be a good student. I wanted to be able to write and speak good French. But inside, I was afraid I would never really fit in. I was afraid from the age of 7 that I was not going to become good enough in school or at speaking French to ever belong. After L'École Bleue, I went to the Lycée Pasteur to study for the baccalaureate. When you come from elsewhere, the only way to gain a place in a French society is to have a diploma. I went to ESSEC, an acclaimed business school in Paris. At ESSEC, there was a job you could take which involved calling companies. I thought, I want to do it. I was so keen. So I went to talk to the relevant person and he said, okay, great, what's your name? I said, Karen Benamou. He said, Benamou? Okay, maybe you could change your name to Karen something French. It's better you change your name in order to sell. My name was too Moroccan, too Jewish, too Arabic, too other. When I was in Morocco, you could never talk about Israel. When I was in France, you could never talk about being Jewish or coming from Morocco. It took me a long time to realize that my culture is a source of riches. In my last year at ESSEC, I was given an internship at the HSBC Bank in mergers and acquisition. I analyzed businesses for our clients who were big companies looking to buy and sell. My boss hired me to work part-time until I finished my degree, and then I was taken on full-time. My parents were so proud of me. When I had been working for 2 years, we took a family holiday in Marrakech at La Mamounia, where we'd often gone when I was growing up. One evening, my parents invited the president of Galerie Lafayette, Etienne Moulin, for dinner. He was a good friend of my father's. We were having a late dinner and they were talking finance, and as evening turned to night, the musician turned up. Didn't know me since I was little, and I often danced when they played. It's embarrassing because sometimes you don't want to dance. But they looked at me as if to say, you have to dance. So I did. I did my dance as usual, the Arabic dancing that I just picked up when I was a child. When I sat back down at the table, Etienne said, Karen, I wonder why you didn't become a dancer, because you are a dancer. It shocked me. He was being really truthful. His comment went straight to my heart. This guy didn't give a shit that I studied for years and was working in big business. He just thought I was a dancer. It was a good moment in my life.
rely on Radio Gorgeous.
I believe that when we are born into this world, we are a soul that manifests in a physical body. As a baby, we express 100% our soul. At the beginning, this is fine because as a baby, everybody loves us. But we understand slowly that people have judgment and offer us love with conditions. We are to become a member of our society in this new world, and we have to transform ourselves in order to fit in. Our family has an agenda for us, and to please them, we are going to change ourselves in order to be loved. Slowly, we lose touch with our soul as we reject who we truly are, bit by bit. The child's soul becomes hidden deep inside because he's learned to be afraid to show it. It's out of fear that we all create an ego and keep the real me secret inside ourselves. And as we grow into adulthood, we keep this secret within us, in our inner child. Our inner child has the memory of the gifts of our soul, but also the memories of the moments of frustration, where we learned we could not express our truth, where we were afraid. So this child within us is a bank of emotion and also a bank of knowledge because it knows what our soul is able to do in this lifetime. For me, the best way to connect and work with the inner child is to meditate. When you do this, you will be joyful. The more we see the fears with which we have blocked our lives, the more we realize how we can unblock them. This releases a lot of stuck emotion from the past. And as it flows away, we will see whom we truly are behind the lies and the fears that have shaped our lives. It's not in one day that you will remove all your blocks, but doing regularly this meditation will really help you. By returning to it and continuing the conversation with your inner child, you will discover the truth of who you are and realize the joy that comes with realizing and expressing the unique gift that you have inside. So now let's do a meditation of reconnecting with your inner child. I will invite you to start breathing. Start to breathe more deeply and breathe out really deeply and strongly. Breathe in an energy of light, an energy of wellness, an energy of relaxation, and breathe out your worries. Breathe out any cloud in your mind, any unnecessary energy. Breathe in and breathe out. Imagine a tube of light that will be around your spine. And start to breathe in the tube of light. As you breathe in it, it will really become light and bright light. It goes from the top of your head to the bottom of the spine. And it's a tube of energy that is feeding you. So breathe in the tube and breathe out from the tube. And your breathing will increase the energy in this tube. You will feel it physically. And from that tube, let the energy spread in all your body. And feel your whole body being really showered by an energy of light and wellness. Because this energy is totally accessible to you. Enjoy that feeling of being in this energy. And now let's focus on the heart chakra. It's this point in the middle of the bust. And imagine a point of light there that you will really focus on, and the breathing will bring more light into it until it becomes really light and bright. And behind this light, you will find a door. Open the door, and you will find a path. And you will find a path in the landscape. And look at the landscape. And walk on the path. And at the end of the path, you will see a house. Open the door of the house. And in the house, you would just see a child, your inner child. And as you meet, take the child in your arms and give it love. Let this child speak to you. Make peace with the child. Receive the energy of him, of her. Receive his messages, her messages. Receive the love that is there, and give the love that is in you for the child. Enjoy the moment of this reunion and listen. Merge with this energy. Receive this energy in you. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy. And you can stay as long as you want. And just be aware of everything you're seeing and feeling and smelling. All your senses are there with the child. And you can spend time there. And when you feel complete, you can come back, close the door of the house, walk on the path, and come back to the initial door in your heart chakra. Continue to breathe. Keep that memory sacred. Keep that space in your heart chakra really sacred. Come back to the tube of light. Breathe in and out in it. Release the tension. Release the fears that the memory has brought back. Keep the joy within you. Keep the sacredness of the moment. And come back to yourself. If you don't want to come back to yourself, you can stay in this energy for as long as you want. You stay sitting and breathing in and out, staying in this energy, letting your worries pass by like a cloud in the sky, and let the wind blow on them. You are not your worries. What is yours is really the essence of your inner child, of this energy you have in your heart, of this energy of the tube of light. You are just this beautiful energy. And with this energy, come back to yourself whenever you want. Namaste.
Radio Gorgeous, online, on your phone, on a podcast, or on your tablet. Listen anywhere, anytime.